Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the last two verses of the psalm reading, which we just heard. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Last week at this time, you were receiving the ashes on your forehead with this word from Genesis 3:19, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. But dust? Really, God? I mean, any intelligent person knows that people are made up of complex, we are complex carbon-based life forms. We're full of complex amino acid chains and DNA, and that we're capable of tremendous thought and creativity and strength. Dust? Really? It seems like this is not even reasonable to think about a creature like a human being as dust. But it goes to a question of origins. Where do we believe that we came from? Do we believe that human beings are merely an accident or a series of accidents? Where does man come from? Well, God, our Creator, the one who said, remember that you are dust, says, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. Our origin is from God, who did first form human beings from the dust of the ground. And our existence is also from God. So if we are self-aware creatures, if we are creative people, if we are moral, intelligent, emotional beings, it's because God has made us in his image and likeness. And what an amazing work he's done. All human life, therefore, exists because of God and depends on God to continue. So God remembers that every single human being is dust. But do we always remember that? Don't people often find themselves going about daily routines, making plans for what they're going to do, making grand things, naming buildings after themselves, undertaking projects, having these great plans that sometimes literally reach into the stars? Most of the time, that goes along fine. But then there are those times when our life comes unraveled. Now, in 2018, the Pew Research Institute made a study of the so-called religious nuns, not nuns like with the habit, but nun, N-O-N-E-S. And of those religious nuns, the reason that they didn't believe in a religion is because they thought that it was irrelevant to their life. Now, contrast that with, say, after 9/11, when suddenly church attendance spiked for, well, I heard about a week. I was not one of the church attenders, but it did shake me up. People think that they can live without God. And we think that our life can go about in its own strength. But there are those times that do shake us up. On August 17, 1999, a 7.6 magnitude earthquake hit Izmit, Turkey, about 100 miles east of Istanbul. And in 37 seconds, 17,000 people were killed, and 500,000 people were rendered homeless as 20,000 buildings were either destroyed or severely damaged. It's incredible that we forget that we are dust. But God has his ways of reminding us. Sometimes it's evil that happens in our life, whether to us or to someone we love. Sometimes it's a sudden illness. Other times it's a natural disaster. And these are times that bring us low. They remind us where we came from. And suddenly all of our plans just go up in smoke. We're found to take the whole thing for granted. And one of our greatest regrets is that we could go back and relive it and appreciate it for what fleeting joy it was. But the Lord, for his part, never forgot that we're dust. And more than that, he has compassion on those who fear him. In that compassion, he was moved to act. And that's exactly what he did, because his son came down. And even though he was king over the universe, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, he became a man of dust with us. And in the dust, he became like one who does live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Like we heard last week from Jesus' temptation as he answered Satan. But also in his dust, he suffered evil. He fled from Herod's wrath. He had lies told about him. He wept over his loved ones who also died. And he also felt physical anguish as he was mocked and scourged and led around by the soldiers and finally crucified and asphyxiated on the cross. And he breathed his last. He breathed out that life that God had put in his body. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And he did. And he was buried in the earth. But unlike our dust, which stays in the ground, his spirit returned. The Father raised him from the dead, and he rose to be a living creature once more. And like no other, he rose so that he could give life to our lifeless dust. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, "The first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." Jesus rose from the dust never to die again. And he is the firstborn among many brothers. He rose from the dead so that he could raise us up from the dust of death. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. Sometimes it takes a reminder from God that we are dust. And in those moments, it is painful to be sure. But it's God's work in us. It's God's work for our good, not just in the moment, but for all of eternity, that we remember that we are dust, so that we could also believe in the man of heaven and in him have eternal life, in him have that hope of being raised from the dust of death, to live with our Creator forever, because that's what his will is for us. The Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. He comes to you when you're bowed down, when you're trembling, when your frame feels like it's ready to crack. He's there with his compassion. The man of heaven comes and breathes new life into you. When you were baptized in the water and the word, God took your lifeless dust and he made it clay. Clay for the potter to form as he sees fit, to form for his good purpose. And day by day, even with dust upon our heads and living under the shadow of death, he is shaping us into the image of his Son. And every time you confess your sins and receive the Lord's forgiveness, it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness, it is withheld." The absolution truly has the power to renew your life, to raise you up from the dust. And he still has more ways that he remembers you in your dust. Recall the word that he spoke through St. Paul. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So the Son of God's lifeless clay rose to new life, never to end again. And that's what he gives you in his supper. He gives you his risen body and blood to strengthen you even when you're living in dust and ashes, even when in your own weakness you don't know how you're going to press on. You don't know how you're going to continue with the burdens and the weaknesses and the sin and the oppression and the struggle that doesn't seem to end. He gives you the strength that you need with his own body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, to unravel the power of death over you, and to give you that power, that strength that you need to follow him where he leads, to be formed in what he needs to form you in, and to live as one who has hope, not just for this life, but for eternal life. See all the ways that the Lord has compassion on you, as a father has compassion on his children. O man of dust, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord has shown compassion to you who fear him. He remembers your frame. He remembers that you are dust. And on the last day, he will raise you and all the dead, and he will lift you up from the ash heap to live with him forever. Persevere in this hope, beloved. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.